Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Good afternoon to you, Sarah, and apologies for the tardy timekeeping on my part.
No, that should have got you out of your relaxing mode.
No, it certainly did. Come, let's get straight to it because we don't have much time and I love it. Today, Biden's racial equity economy. Explain.
Yes. I just want to quote Sam Leith, the literary editor of Spectator, who wrote an article dissecting Joe Biden's speech yesterday, saying, and I quote, "There's a set form to a U.S. president's inaugural address, and Joe Biden followed it. You place yourself in an historical tradition. You make free reference to Lincoln and Washington and Martin Luther King, and you quote as many as possible of a handful of resonant phrases from history of American rhetoric, such as 'we the people,' 'better angels,' 'more perfect union,' 'one nation under God,' and so on. Sleepy Joe managed all four of those, for instance, in very short order," close quote. Now, it's a little bit cynical, but because it was quite a resonant speech. I think he delivered it well. I think what sort of unraveled it was a bit was, and I agree with him on this, is that it became too long. He just repeated a whole lot of ideas that he'd already mentioned, and I think would have been punchier left mentioned at a certain point. Yes. But the bit that really worried me is that he referred to there being a cry for racial justice some 400 years in the making, and that a dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer. Now, what's frightening about that is that it's actually not entirely, it's not true. He appears to have been bought into the whole woke idea. And what didn't appear in the speech, but has appeared elsewhere, is the fact that for him and Kamala Harris, the economic policy of the states will be based on racial justice, redressing the unfairnesses of the past, etc. Now, the reality is that you base your policy, your economic policy, on economic factors. That, first and foremost, is what you need to embark upon to redress any other imbalances. And with the idea of hiking taxes, and increasing social programs, and basically trying to specifically benefit Black Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, I'm not sure exactly what the right term is, and Pacific Islanders, you immediately undermine the unity he kept referring to, because immediately you're starting to alienate Trump supporters and white Americans and the right. And the whole thrust of his speech over and over again was unity and him being a president for all. And I don't think the honeymoon's going to last very long, because I think that unity, which I think is a nonsensical goal both here and in the States, will, all that's going to happen very quickly is that the severe divides in America are going to be perpetuated.
That's absolutely fascinating. No, that's absolutely fascinating, because I must say my gut feeling this morning was we woke up to a lighter world. You know, I like the talk that he's bringing people together, but it is interesting your take on it, saying, you know, he's papering over cracks and actually not addressing the real issues. In fact, you're saying one thing worse. You're saying he's going to exacerbate them.
Well, let me put it this way. It was what was done. I mean, you know, there's a certain amount, quite a lot of theatre in having Lady Gaga, whose performance I enjoyed, and Jennifer Lopez, and then throwing in Garth Brooks as a sort of your thing. But they kept referring to, the first Black American woman vice president, the first Latina Supreme Court judge, etc. And it's so, you know, if you really want to bring people together, just introduce them for their
talk about
achievements.
The humanity. No, I hear you. Yes. I hear you. I started the show at 4 o'clock this afternoon with my take on this, and I couldn't stop talking about Bernie's mittens, because he used revamped old jumpers. And I just thought, how fabulous, you know, the old socialist to the end, the environmentalist, just two marvelous words. Nobody took me up on that one. What did you think of the mittens?
I saw him sitting there and I thought, he's an old lefty curmudgeon. Good for him.
It's
like a curmudgeon, whatever Just imagine looks like he looked like it.
Absolutely, he did. Ah, that's wonderful.
I have to say that I think the ex-presidents of from both parties looked fairly dignified, as much as you can behind a mask that disguises all emotion.
Yes,
that
was difficult.
Who was noticed by his absence, which he threatened and he carried out.
He did indeed. I also found that whole sort of presentation of the gifts really interesting, specifically the Mitch McConnell portion where he was in a difficult situation. It couldn't have been a comfortable evening for him last night.
No, look, there were a whole lot of strange things, and it's the president's right to kind of, you know, play it as he sees fit. But, you know, those speeches generally, and this was one of them, that they do appeal to the best, but it's those little things that are inserted that suggest that that's not going to be for very long.
Okay. So we are going to remember that. We're going to note that, and we're going to see, you have, absolutely, we'll monitor it. Sarah Gon, thank you for a provocative, interesting take on the inauguration last night. Much appreciated. Okay, so to the SMS line I go. Clive weighing in saying, what could possibly go wrong? Biden's been trying to fix things for 47 years. What did he achieve? And then Clive's answered his own question and says zero. And to tell you the truth, I don't know enough about him to know, but it would be interesting. Ronnie Hershovitz, great to hear from you. You're saying, happy birthday for tomorrow, you legend. Wow, Ronnie, I'm going to take a picture of that and keep that for posterity. Colin says, Bernie was wearing Corbyn last night. It went straight over my head, Colin, straight over my head. Sorry, don't know if it's just been a long day or what. Time is 4 minutes odd to 6 o'clock. What a wonderful afternoon it has been. It has felt like a marathon. We have had a packed show, that is for sure. Before I go, I want to say to Vusi and to DJ Flo, thank you for making it happen this afternoon. To you, Senna Pabetsi, my legendary producer at Shabbat Shalom. See you on Monday.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.